go ahead and admit it. There was a time when you believed in fairies. But of course, we all have to grow up, and grown-ups do not believe in fairies. Except there is one grown-up with a PhD that not only believes in fairies, but believes we should all set aside a place on our farms and in our gardens so fairies can thrive. This leads us to ask, who among us will farm for fairies?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 515th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in Forres, Scotland, who are tuned as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, David.
Good morning.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello there.
Folks, I imagine when the American farmer learned that the food chain would be featuring fairies, a great laugh was had by all. After all, what American farmer has time to farm for fairies when there is so much to do, like making enough money to survive until next year? But wait, what if fairies are real and you and I aren't seeing them simply because we aren't taking the time to look for them? What would we be missing if fairies are indeed real? Here to help us look for fairies today, we have Nicola Amadora, who is a psychologist. Nicola, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hello, and thank you.
So, you know, there are people out there, Nicola, who are, of course, listening to me now. They're driving to the fields, you know, to meet their crew in their pickup, and they're looking out across the farmlands, and they see that every plant has a place. There's nothing out of order. And they're thinking, this Olson guy has flipped his wig. He's talking about fairies. So, we got to bring these guys in. Well, Nicola,
sure.
Are fairies for real?
Absolutely.
They are?
Absolutely.
Tell us about them then.
Okay.
Sell us on the fact that fairies live.
Please?
Sell us on the fact that fairies live.
Well, I won't sell it to you, but I will tell you that I have many experiences that mm-hmm. I can share about.
Have you seen them? Can you
yes.
talk to them? Can you
yes.
dance with them?
I hear them. I can see them.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's easy to believe when you hear and see.
Mm-hmm.
But when, like many of the folks who are out there, they're probably, that is a fairy tale from childhood.
Right. And of course, we all believed in fairies when we
so
were children.
So why do we all believe in fairies when we're children? And it is across every single country. Everywhere I have traveled in this world, and I have been in many countries, people have connection with fairies. Now, the only countries that have disconnected more from that is the Westerns.
Western societies?
Western society. And the children, though, still, if you talk to a child, they talk about fairies. Now, where does this come from? It is in every single country. So there must be a truth to that, isn't it? And if you remember it when you were a child, where did it come from if your parents didn't talk about it?
Yeah. Well, books, TV shows.
Yeah, but they can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's many children.
So there's a built-in, there's an intrinsic belief in fairies.
There's a knowing. There's more than a belief. There's a difference between belief and knowing. When you know something is here and true and real, and when you just imagine something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, when I worked with kids, they can see them so much easier because they don't have all these concepts in their head. They just look, and here's the tree, and besides the tree is the fairy, of course. What else should there be, right? That simple, but we become complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So
and very busy.
Yes, And that's the sad part, because not only do we lose connection to the what I call the invisible world, but we lose connection to nature itself when you look around.
And I guess if you think about it, farming and agriculture is the business of controlling nature, of managing nature, of gathering nature under your wing and taking charge.
Yeah. A good part is to take charge. The other part is to take over, control over. If we were to understand, and that's what the fairies keep communicating with people like me and people in Findhorn and people I know who are active involved with the fairy world, they all say the same thing. The message from them is very simple and clear. If you were to cooperate with us, which means the nature world, then things would be so much more possible. There would be so much more power available and so much more energy and so much more, and of course it would create much more harmony. Because what we do sometimes, we forget that there is some natural, intrinsic natural laws, and I bet everybody who's listening to this knows about some basic natural laws.
For example.
That we're getting concrete here.
Yes. I'm looking for fairies, Nicola.
Okay, I'm going to go straight more to the fairies. Yeah. Well, let's take an example. This is very basic, okay? You poison the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You pour some poison in, right? It has a reaction, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's basic.
Okay.
Right. So, if we disconnect from nature, we keep doing things that are totally against nature.
And these things preclude fairies.
Exactly. And fairies have... I mean, let me just tell you, there's this sweet fairy tales around the world, and fairies, they look in every country different.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that they're just light forms. Right?
Okay, so now we're getting to exactly what a fairy is. A fairy is a light form.
Yeah, okay. It's a form of light, and it takes on a certain shape. And the shape you can only see when your eyes are a little bit more open than seeing just the surface. When you look beyond the surface, okay, you can see that in a healthy environment, in a healthy natural environment, and always in the wilderness, you see many, many types of fairies. They look all a little different, mm-hmm. but they have a quality to that you can... Have you ever walked through the woods and felt like you were tingling? You had the most funny thoughts.
No.
Or you started laughing, or you started all of a sudden singing. And it's a certain delight and a certain lightfulness. That's a word I've just made up.
Okay.
That comes with being surrounded by fairies.
How did you discover fairies?
I was always interested in the unseen worlds. So mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time in nature, and I worked a lot also on farms.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find fairies on farms?
I did.
You did?
But it was usually on farms that are... Like in Germany, back in Germany, I worked on biodynamic farms.
Mm-hmm.
People who respected nature, that's where most of the fairies are. And see, the purpose for a fairy is to bring in life energy into the plant. That's their job.
Okay, so fairies are forms of light that can take any different shape.
Yeah, it's kind of, it has a certain, you know, it has the fairy shape, mm-hmm. but the dresses are uh-huh. described in different countries in different ways.
Are fairies different than angels?
Yeah, they're smaller. They're smaller, and they don't have that much. The angels is said they have the greatest power. The fairies are really, the angels are also, their job is also to look over us humans and support us. But the fairies help, their main job is for nature, to feed life energy, vital life energy into a plant. And the more they can do that, the more you will have a quality of food rather than...
Mm-hmm. How many different types of light life are there? I mean, how many different
How many different forms? Yeah. I don't know. But
do you see different ones when you see
I
them?
I do, and they're usually always in this size, you
about
know.
About 3.5 feet or something. So like leprechauns almost.
Yeah. And then some of them are a little smaller.
What do they look like to you when you see
them? Well,
that's
what I found out. In Scotland, they look a little different than here in America.
Uh-huh.
In Scotland, they come as if they, you know, the shape is always kind of a human form, but with wings.
Uh-huh. Oh, with wings?
Yeah.
In Scotland?
Yeah, well, they have everywhere with wings.
Uh-huh.
But the dress is kind of Scottish dress.
Huh. Well, folks, we're out there today. We're talking about fairies, and we're talking about farming for fairies with Nicola Amadora, who is a psychologist. So Nicola is not just a fairy person. She's a scientist, a trained scientist, a psychologist. And she's bringing this whole different notion to us that there is a spiritual world out there that we can take advantage of. And when we get back, I'd like her to tell us about some of her adventures traveling around the world to places like Findhorn and telling us about the fairies. So do stay tuned. Right back.
Water users, you can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and get rid of calcium carbonate deposits. No, not by magic. By installing an Aquamax catalytic converter in your water line that will induce epitaxial nucleation. Listen.
Hello, I'm Karen Coon. My father promised me that if I installed an Aquamax, I could grow grass where I've never been able to grow grass. And it's the truth. Was bare and spotty and is now deep-rooted and healthy. It's wonderful. We use much less water, and the plants look absolutely beautiful.
You can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and eliminate calcium carbonate deposits just by installing an Aquamax on your water line. No chemicals, no filters. Explore the possibility. Go to MetroFarm.com, click on the Aquamax Water Saver banner, and save. That's MetroFarm.com.
Okay, go ahead and admit it out there. At one time, you did believe in fairies, right? But then you grew up. We all grow up. But hey, somebody didn't grow up. Nicola Amadora did not grow up. Well, she grew up enough to get a PhD in psychology, but she still believes in fairies, and today she's bringing fairy life to us and suggesting that we should all make room for fairies in our on our farms and in our gardens. And so we're asking you, what do you think about the notion of fairies? Is that something that you could believe? Nicola, you do believe them, and you actually talk to them.
Yes.
Tell us about your experience in talking with fairies. Now, before we took a break here, we were talking about there's a difference between these forms of spirit, and angels, for example, are different than fairies.
Mm, yes.
And fairies are... like leprechauns, I guess. 3.5 feet tall, and they run around in nature. At least that's what Nicola sees when she's in nature. But you actually talk with fairies. Tell us about talking with fairies.
Well, the first time I encountered, actually, I imagine that many of you will have had some kind of experience with the fairies. The first time when I went into nature and I was just still, I was just quiet without my own agenda, and that's usually when anything will talk to you if you just listen. And I had not had any idea of fairies that was long buried from childhood. But when I sat under a tree and I was quiet, I all of a sudden heard a voice. And it was definitely not a voice in my head. And it started talking to me about nature, and it talked to me about the beauty of the trees and what we need in this world to actually respect nature. And I asked, "Who are you?" And I heard this voice, "I'm the Deva, the spirit of this tree." So it started with connecting actually to the different plants, to this, you know, the spirit of a plant.
So are you suggesting that each plant has a fairy spirit?
Every plant has what it's called deva. Mm-hmm. It's a Sanskrit word, but what it really means is that every every being on this planet, animal, plant, human being, has a spirit. And in the plant world, you call it Deva.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the fairies that are actually... So then when I sat under the tree and listened to the spirit of the tree, what also occurred was that it was all of a sudden a being I saw, and I thought, now I must be out of my mind. Because I didn't know what that was until it came to me and introduced itself and saying, I'm a fairy, and I bring the life force to each plant, and that's my job. And so I brushed it aside. I was stunned. I walked home. And I actually, the following week, I went into a library and looked for fairy mm-hmm. material. And what I found was a book on Findhorn.
Ah, okay.
And so it was in that time very helpful because I had these kind of experiences. And then I found this is a whole place made... brought into being from actually working in cooperation with nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's. We have a few minutes here. Let's go to Findhorn. Where mm-hmm. is it?
It's in Scotland, northern Scotland. It's
forest.
Very cold.
Forest Scotland.
Yeah, and it's close to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful place, though, but it was created... the garden was created from sand.
Do you know how Findhorn was started?
Yes.
Tell us the story.
Yeah. Well...
It was a couple unemployed...
It was an unemployed couple with three kids.
In a van.
In a little van in the sand dunes in the northern Scotland. And they said, well, God will provide for us. And they were told, they listened. The main thing is about actually cooperation with nature and working, farming with the fairies is learning to listen. And so they listened. And they were told... plant vegetables, plant seeds in the sand. We will work with you. And I thought, this is completely crazy. There's nothing going to grow in sand. No, there's nothing in there to grow nothing. So the only thing they put on top was seaweed, which is helpful, you know. And they were asked by the fairy world they wanted to give an example to humanity what is actually possible when you work in cooperation with nature and with the unseen world.
Mm-hmm.
And what started to happen is surprised everyone, including the couple, that the more they listened and did exactly what the fairies asked them to do for the specific plant needs, these plants grew, produced vegetables and cabbages of enormous sizes. And they were like, but there was only sand and some seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
So scientists from all around the world started to hear about it because they started to sell it on the market to get some money. And people got curious how in the world Scotland, you have to know, is not a good country for farming, especially not the... Especially the northern part.
Yeah, very cold.
Hardly any sun.
Yes,
it's always
right, it's
gray.
Right on a bay there.
Yeah, that's why people are drunk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But not this couple. So anyway, they were going about into the markets, and the radio station came along, and people came along, the TV came along, and trying to find out what this miracle is. Now, they weren't telling about working with the fairies because they thought the whole world, England especially at that time, they might think they're totally cuckoo, mm-hmm. not right in their heads. But one day, a person came up. So there came a biologist, and this person also had connection with a more spiritual world. So he measured what was in the ground, and he said there's no possibility for any plant to grow, especially any vegetables. It's not possible. There's nothing in there. He said, and then he looked him straight in the face, and he said, you working with the fairy kingdom, aren't you? And that's when it dropped. That's when the news dropped.
Mm-hmm. Now, from this garden, there sprang up an incredible community.
Oh, yeah, amazing. I mean, meanwhile, there's like about 800 constant residents, and then there's 200 to 300 guests each week. throughout the year, coming from all around the world. So Finland has gotten recognition from the United Nations and the European Union, meanwhile, for their exemplary living.
So I had the opportunity to speak at Findhorn.
And, you're lucky, yeah.
I flew into the place of... we took a train to Forres and then went over to Findhorn there. And I gave my presentation and had the occasion to wander around a bit. And I was wandering around a bit with my camera trying to figure out what exactly I had flown into the middle of. I had really no idea what Findhorn was. But I came upon a garden. Mm-hmm. And in this garden were huge, giant cabbages. I mean, there were cabbages the size of... a small Volkswagen, and parked right next to the garden was this old van that was kind of like grew, was part of the garden. It just grew out of the soil there. And I was standing there looking at this, and the sun broke through the clouds and came right down on these cabbages. And it was, I thought, gosh, I'll take a picture of this. And I took my camera out, and all of a sudden, this gray-haired lady in all in white clothing came out and stood in the sunshine next to the cabbage. And I didn't know who it was, but I started taking pictures, and it turned out to be Eileen Caddy, who was one of the founder of the place. And
what a sweet lady she is.
Yeah, but good thing I don't believe in fairies.
Oh.
Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking with Nicola Amadora about fairies. Fairies of the world, and fairies of the garden, and fairies of the farm, and why we should even be concerned about looking for fairies in our environment. Curious to know what you have to say about fairies. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Give us a call tell us if you believe in fairies, and if you've ever seen one. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Hey, welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking with Nicola Amadora, Dr. Nicola Amadora, about fairies. So how is it that a psychologist works with fairies?
Interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I work with all sorts of beings, mm-hmm. human beings and animals and plants. It's all life.
We have a caller who wants to know if you've ever met Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell. I think the person who wrote Tinkerbell has met the fairy Tinkerbell. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I saw the fairies, they looked very much like Tinkerbell.
They do?
Yeah.
They're bigger? You said they have wings, so about three?
Yeah, they all have, well, the ones I see. Pan mm-hmm. doesn't have wings, but the fairies do.
Now, who's Pan?
Oh, that's a whole other story.
Uh-huh. You don't want to go there, huh?
Well, we can. Well, he's called the god of nature, and that the church has depicted him as the evil scapegoat. That's the kind of... But it's originally, we look in the ancient, the old folk tales of the Celtic world and the Irish and Scottish, there is depicted Pan. And Pan is basically said as the god of nature.
Mm-hmm.
So he...
Okay.
Yeah. And he doesn't have wings.
He does not have wings.
No.
Okay.
But Tinkerbell, that's very much what the feeling evokes in you with Tinkerbell is very much what the feeling is when you're around fairies.
Well, do you think Peter Pan then was named after Pan? Do you think there was a relationship there?
Oh, that just comes, that's the first time, yes, of course.
And Tinkerbell, Peter Pan and Tinkerbell? And
yes, somebody must have loved fairies and Pan. Somebody must have known about this.
Hmm. Okay, take us to the world we live in, and how is it that we can go about our day-to-day living, struggle to make enough money to survive into next year, and still figure out how to communicate with fairies? I mean...
It takes only a minute.
I'm thinking about the grower out there. Heading down the... to his field, his field is just absolutely immaculate. It's precise. There's not a plant out of place anywhere. slum. So how is he or she going to communicate with those fairies?
Two things I suggest. One is find a spot in nature, first of all, to even connect with nature. Put your hands on the earth and let yourself become quiet. Like, let yourself feel the earth beneath you. Let yourself experience that this is actually a living being. And like you're touching for the first time a baby. Touch a tree like that and see what it's like. In that moment, the nature spirits already will be closer to you because they do want to communicate to humanity and they do want to work in cooperation. The other thing is you need to be open. Open beyond your concepts in your head of whether that is, exists or doesn't exist. Let yourself just experience and open.
Isn't that the hardest thing in the world for anybody to do, though, is to be open?
Yes. And that's what I do in my psychology work, to help people to open. So it goes all together in one. Because without being open, you can't love. And without being quiet, you can't hear. Right?
Right.
So it all goes together. And the other part is, if you create on your farm a place, if at all possible for you, even the tiniest spot where you leave what is wild, wild. Where you let nature be nature. And what you're creating there is a field that where you can even call it, this is a sacred space on your farm. And it's also the place for fairies. And it is the place from which your farm will be fed from in a maybe for you in the first, not in a tangible way. But sooner or later, you will realize that your plants will have a quality that they don't that they haven't had before.
You know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of people out there who actually suggest that we should plant hedgerows in our farms, and that we should make provisions for farming with the wild, as you will.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
It is, and it has even a deeper purpose than just, you know, for the animals. It is really also for the spiritual aspect of nature. Because when you cut everything into pieces and you control everything, where has spirit its own life, right? The fairies leave those places, and you won't have their assistance. It's just, then you have to rely on fertilizers and all the other things. I mean, they're helpful, but there is something. When have you ever tasted an apple, different kinds of apple, and have you ever tasted an apple that just tasted like a real apple, where you just felt like, you're eating life, right?
Right. So that's what you're suggesting made possible the Findhorn Garden. Was that was the spirit there, as well as whatever else they could find to put on the, as well as the kelp that they threw up on?
Absolutely,
well.
Yes. I mean,
well,
poisons, you will drive the fairies away. That's absolutely clear.
Nicole, you do have a great critic by the name of James Randi, who put aside $1 million to anyone who could prove the existence of supernatural phenomenon. There's been no takers. So how do you answer that criticism that if there were something there, we'd find it and put it in a box and sell it for $1 million?
That's a good joke.
Well, yeah.
But that's what the human mind wants to do with everything, right?
Exactly. Like Ghostbusters, right? They would
pack up the ghost and put it in a box.
If there were fairies, we would figure out some kind of way of trapping it and sticking it in a box.
That's right. But don't you? With spirit, is free. You cannot trap something. We're trying to do that all around nature. We're trying to trap and put nature into boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's essentially what we do with agriculture.
That's what we try to do.
Yeah. That's how we feed ourselves.
Yeah. But we don't understand that if we actually let things go with nature and cooperate together like partners,
we'll get something giant and
we get something enormous going, and that's the enormous potential. But what it does require is to let go of your control issues. That's why I work as a psychologist.
I'm not sure I quite get that. Come on, come
control.
Back. Control.
If okay. we need to constantly control people, mm-hmm. we control nature, right? And there is no room for spirit.
Right.
Because spirit moves in its own ways, right?
So you can't trap it, a spirit and put
no.
it in a box.
That's why. You can't trap it. Mm-hmm. It's free. And so the fairies, certain places are deserted. There is no fairies.
Are control freaks the least spiritual of people?
I would not judge them as that. I would say they're the most scared people.
Ooh. Folks, this is The Food Chain, and boy, we're talking about fairies today. With Michael Amadora, and we're having a great time doing it. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Give us a ring, and we'll have some fun. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Yeah.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about fairies with Nicola Amadora, Dr. Nicola Amadora, psychologist. Hey, we're going to go to the phones right now, too. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're going to talk with David. David, welcome to The Food Chain.
Oh, yes. Very interesting guest you have. I was wondering if there's anything you can do to your landscaping to welcome fairies.
Oh, great question. Now, we can do that with butterflies. We can do it with bees. What can we do to attract fairies to our landscaping?
I really appreciate your question. And you can do many things, including just simply stating your intent to welcome them into your garden.
What do you mean by that?
Just to go into your garden and speak.
That sounds like praying.
Well, you could call it praying, or you could call it talking to a person.
Okay.
Communication.
So you don't really pray to fairies, though, do you? You kind of talk with them, but you...
I talk to them, yeah.
Okay, good.
Like, I talk to people, just a little different, you know?
Okay.
And I would just go out into the garden and say, "Hello, I welcome you fairies into my garden." And plant some flowers. They love flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Grow things organic. That's what they like. And just acknowledge their presence, and you will feel the difference in your garden. And ask them to help you with your gardening.
So you just start talking with them before you see them.
Yes, that's how.
Is that part of the opening up you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, you're opening up. And
Teach us how to open up. You're a psychologist. teach us how to open up to this. I mean, you know, we're driving down the road in a pickup truck and we're trying to figure out how to pay the bills. And teach us how to open up to this. What is the first thing is just to acknowledge them.
Yes, and you know what? The first thing is actually to have a willingness. That to be willing to be in connection in a deeper way with nature. And that means to be in connection with your heart in a deeper way. That willingness and then your intention coupled with that will help you to open up more deeply. And you will notice you will open up much more to other people too. It does affect actually your entire life.
So.
And it brings a lot of joy.
And brings a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to be open.
Yeah.
We have to acknowledge.
Yeah.
And we have to just start talking.
Just start talking.
There's okay.
And also, actually, start listening. Take a moment. It takes a minute. Just sit in your garden and just look around like as if you're looking for the first time in your life. As if you're seeing this piece of earth the first time in your life. And look, what else do you see and you experience that maybe you haven't acknowledged before?
Now, I would suspect you would not see a fairy pop up and say, hey, I'm a fairy. I would suspect you would see perhaps a fleeting piece of light or something.
Yes, and sometimes you actually...
Like a fairy was hiding behind a bush.
Yes, so some people see it that way, and some people will never see, and some people just really hear. They start to hear. And some people really have an energetic sense. They just feel all of a sudden the shivers on your mm-hmm. in your skin. You probably have experienced that in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like a tingle. That's why it's called Tinkerbell, right? It's mm-hmm. like the fairies are like a Tinkerbell. It tinkles. And then, or sometimes you just experience a simple peace and a love that starts overflowing your heart.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to talk with them out loud? I mean, neighbors are going
to
think.
No, you don't need to stand there and make a fool of yourself. I do meanwhile, I kiss the trees, you know, mm-hmm. but...
A genuine tree hugger.
Well, kind of. I love touching plants and saying hello. Mm-hmm. But you can just inwardly, what you speak inwardly, they will hear because they're not so dense as we human beings. So they can actually sense immediately your thoughts. So even your thoughts of going towards a plant and you want to actually feed that plant, you say something like, oh, how beautiful you have grown, how beautiful flowers you have produced, that instantly impacts the plant. I mean, this is even proven,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same with the fairies. They thrive on that kind of appreciation from human beings because it's love.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we give them acknowledgement...
Just like petting a puppy, right?
Right? It's the same. As soon as you give anything acknowledgement and love, it will respond to you and it will talk to you, I can promise you.
Let me ask you this. You have an 11-year-old daughter...
Yeah.
...who also believes in fairies. Although she was not up to getting up today, but I wish she was here so I could ask her this question.
It would be great.
When you and her are together, do you see the same fairy? Do you talk with the same fairy?
There's different fairies in our garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But can you both communicate at the same time with the same fairy?
Yes.
Really?
We have tested the whole thing.
No kidding. So both of you will actually...
Yeah. We have tested things like that. Yeah, we have done a lot of those kind of... We've made it into games, you know? And also to check it out, what's real, and if it works.
Okay, when we come back from this quick break, I'm going to ask how you check it out, because I got to hear this.
You check messages.
Check messages?
If you have the same message.
Ah.
Right? It's very simple.
It's like getting a instant messaging on your mobile phone. There.
It's the question, are you on the same radio station, you know?
Right. All right, folks, this is The Food Chain, Michael Olson. We're talking fairies, and we're talking the spiritual aspects of our farming and gardening, and whether we should invest time in making a place in agriculture, in gardening, for the spirit. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, right back.
At First Light, there are some who are already up. They've been up for some time now. Before the dew is gone, before the first songbird finds its breakfast, work across the fields is already being done. We celebrate the land and its people, but more than that, we celebrate the very people who work the land. It's what we stand for. We're Western Growers Association. The many grower members who rise each morning have come to count on WGA. For more than three quarters of a century, Western Growers Association has worked hard to provide a single voice and sense of vision for today's ever-changing agriculture industry. From California to Arizona, With 3,500 members strong, WGA continues a tradition of quality for America's table and respect for the hardworking men and women who make that possible. What does Western Growers Association stand for? We stand for you. Learn more by calling 1-800-333-4WGA or visit us on the web at www.wga.com. Western Growers Association.
This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. And we're talking about fairies with Nicola Amadora and you. And we're going to go to the phones right now and talk with Liz. Liz, welcome to the Food Chain.
I wondered, are there more fairies in certain places and at certain times of the day or night?
Oh, good. Good question.
Interesting question, huh? Well, I would say...
Well, you've traveled all over the world,
yeah.
Nicola. Where did you find the fairies?
Well, the most fairies...
Any in Las Vegas?
I've not been there. I have found most fairies actually in the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
And then also in places where people appreciated the fairies a lot. There's a lot of fairies. Now, it didn't make a difference between day and night, actually. Also, I find myself more open in the night when it all is quiet, you know? You can see, it's the old stories that even tell you that fairies dance in the night.
There you go, Liz.
Well, my mother used to talk about the people who, in Ireland, who would encounter fairies, you know?
Yes, yes, that's a great place.
Perfect segue. Tell us about your working with the Irish farmers and the fairies.
Well, I did...
Liz, thanks for the call, sweetie.
Thank you. I stayed in Ireland quite a bit, and the farmers there, they are not usually talking about these things, but they're working with the fairies in a very basic and simple way. What I found is, for example, they feel like they want something to watch over them. And also the fairy tale, the folklore in Ireland is very strong, so the belief in fairies in the other world, they call it the other world, is very strong. They acknowledge, for example, they have places like the oak forests. Oak is a sacred tree for the Celtic tradition and for the Irish. And often in those oak groves, you can find little altars made for the fairies and Pan and for those unseen ones that help us. And you can also see that the old woman puts a little bowl of food out in front of her door as an offering. Now, they don't eat the material food, but it is an offering of energy that the old woman gives them. But also the farmers go out to their fields, and often you can hear them call out, even loud, to have the fairies assist them and the spirits assist them. Yes.
Well, Nicola, why... Do you think that the desire is kind of universal among those in agriculture to have something watching over us other than the county ag commissioner?
Yes, and I believe many of the farmers actually are in direct contact with more than when you just talked about watching over them, a spiritual aspect watching over them that you can call the angels or the fairies or the spirit of the land, that goodness of that spirit watching over them. Because I think many, many, many farmers do, actually, more than they talk about it.
More than they would admit it, huh?
Yes, and in many countries the same.
Rich, go ahead. You're on the Food Chain.
Yeah, hi. This is a very interesting program.
A fairly interesting program.
I had two questions. One of them is, how do you cook a cabbage the size of a Volkswagen, and where do you store it?
You eat it.
You eat it right away. Okay.
If you have a lot of people, you eat them.
Yeah. Oh, you can just look at it.
And the second, is there any books on the subject, or have you written any books on the subject?
Good question.
Oh, thank you for asking the question. There's many books on the subject, and the one book I really recommend is The Findhorn Garden. It's a beautiful book, and it has a lot of pictures in it, but also has a lot of clear descriptions in it. And then there is also one that's called The Voice of the Earth. And there's a couple of more that if you look in the fairy section, I don't have it right now in my mind. All the books, I have a lot of them in my bookshelf.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Are you going to write something, Doctor Amadora?
I wrote articles for different newspapers, mm-hmm. Yes, I have done that, and I've given talks, but I have not written yet a book. That is to come.
Robbie wants to know if Nicola Amadora knows about Shinto, which is very similar to what you're talking about, the Shinto tradition in Japan.
Yeah, but I studied many of the world religions. I have not studied the Shinto, no, actually, very, very little.
Boy, I guess we're just about out of time. Is that right? Folks, this has been The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We've been talking with Nicola Amadora. Thank you so much for joining us, Nicola.
Thank you for listening.
All right.
And enjoy your life with fairies.
Okay, bye. Good. Stay tuned, folks, for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain.